Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Well, hello, my witchy poo. How was this witching hour for you?
Nice. I like the
Thank
rhyme.
Thank you. Thank you.
The witching hour is always great. Unless it's in the middle of the night, then it's not as great.
That's normally what my witching hours are. It's always in the threes.
Yeah, I know.
Always.
But yeah. Sometimes 2:30, but usually 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when I wake up. If I'm going to wake up, if the clock says 3:33, it makes me smile. Can't help it. So today's episode, we're calling, well, she, you're calling. So I'm going to put the respect where it's due because it was such a beautiful title and your reasons behind it. We're calling it Polishing the Mirror.
So we have these three questions that are super thoughtful and from a real seeker, someone who's searching and doing a lot of inner work. And it just made me think of a couple things, two spiritual practices that point to this same activity. It's a seeking of the heart. And so we know, we understand that we're all connected and that our outer world reflects our inner world. So we know that the world mirrors to us who we are. And when you do a lot of inner work, you're refining your inner world, which will redefine your outer world. And this is the process of transformation. And this is what she's doing. In the Sufi tradition, like the spinning Sufis, right? But they also have this bowing action where they bow forward and you lean to the left and then bow as you move to the right and then bow again as you move from the right to the left. And you bow not only with your head, but really with your heart, because this slight movement back and forth is designed to clear the dust coverings of the heart. When we come to the earth, we agree to put on this skin suit and come in as individuals, knowing that we are divine, but we need to forget that we are divine so that we can expand the divine experience of the world. So we have to believe the lie that we are individuals and we come to the earth to seek and expand. And so we have to remove the dust coverings of the heart through our internal practices, through our spiritual devotion, through seeking. And in Sanskrit, the word mala, which has a number of definitions, but one of the definitions is literally dust coverings of the heart. So malas are also the prayer beads, right? So by doing these prayer beads, by working your mantras, you will remove these dust coverings of the heart. So that's why I suggested this title.
And just a quick note, in the Vibe store corner, lots of great malas and those Meru malas. I mean, it's like supercharge. It's like the best cleaning ever.
Yeah, just hold them. You don't even have to do the mantras. I mean, do the mantras because they're fun. And mantras can be affirmations. They can be whatever. Mm-hmm. But just use the beads. Just use the beads.
So can we say who these questions are from? I think it's only fair.
Go for it.
Because I actually wanted to call the episode Sue again. Not nearly as profound as Brenda's title. So that's why we went with hers. It's way better than mine. But we've talked about Sue, and Sue's the one who is my niece. And she's also a police officer in Texas. And here's the funny thing about being my niece is that she's only like a year or two younger than me. And that's just a whole funny age thing. Like, because Suzanne's 10 years older and her, and then her niece actually married a woman that is older than her. And so it actually made Sue and I pretty much the same age. So we have a lot of fun with the, I'm your aunt. Do not question me kind of fun stuff. But she went on this spiritual journey and she has had tremendous questions. She's the one who asked for lepidolite from me that she could give it to other officers because she's cop suey. And so she really is going down this path. And obviously I love her, but that aside, these are really amazing questions.
I do too. Just an extraordinary seeker.
Yeah, she is.
A great light worker.
You know what I gave her last Christmas for a Christmas present? A pneumite skull. If anybody wonders if pneumite works, if it is a transformational stone.
It is a transformational stone.
Sue is Exhibit A. So let's, are you ready for the first question?
Bring it.
Because it's not time for one of your breaks.
Nice. Thanks for clarifying.
Okay. So
are you over my breaks?
Passive aggressive.
Or just aggressive aggressive.
And I think I'm going to put her second question to be her first question, which is, what's the difference between a person's higher self and the divine? I mean, seriously, that's a magnificent question.
I know. Who asked this question, right? This is amazing.
Sue. That's why she gets her own damn episode again.
Nice. I like this. So it's just an extraordinary exploration, right? So you'll remember, like, one of the guiding mantras or principles really for me is highest good for all, harm to none. That's usually the threshold. Do I go forward with this? How do I move forward? How do I engage here? So just that little qualification.
And I have stolen that from you.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. And so that little qualification can serve so greatly. Highest good for all, harm to none. And when you think about the higher self, like, it's not what we lead with here on Earth School. We don't bring down 100% of our spirit into these skin suits, right? Into Earth School, because it wouldn't even be able to hold it all. And I've told that story. This is about my dog who passed, but it's relevant in this situation. So she was a 20-pound Shih Tzu, like a big Shih Tzu. When she passed, and I was so upset, and I couldn't go back home because we were at the vet's. So I was like, let's go to one of Maggie's favorite parks. And so we went to the park, and her spirit filled the sky. It filled the sky, and it was so comforting, and she was so free, and it was so beautiful and expansive. And it was one of those transformative moments for me where I was like, how did that giant spirit fit into that little body? I mean, we used to tease that she was 20 pounds of fur and attitude that ruled our life, like that, you know, because she was so bossy and so funny. And I just completely devoted to this dog. But the same is true for us. Like, we can't put our whole spirit into our body. So when we appeal to the higher self, we're appealing to our whole self, our whole individualized self, which is a subset. Because that higher self is the part that holds all of our karma, holds all of our lessons, all of our blessings, all of our gifts. It's all contained in that for many lifetimes. So that's the highest self, the one that is always integrating our lessons. And that is a subset of the divine. Does that make sense?
I think that was fabulous, actually. Thank you. Was so good. Like, I can see it. Like, so for nerdy people, we're like, oh, you gave me amazing visualization, you know, because we've talked a lot lately about how we are all one. We come from one. If you are a mathematician, you would figure that your higher self is a part of that one. So really the answer is, what's the difference? There's not. It's a piece versus a whole pie.
Right. One component of the collective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we are in 2022, the concept, which is the year of love in numerology, like, we have to figure out and affirm and experience and be open to claiming our part in this unifying love frequency. And this is our year to do it. Look for it, count on it, be part of it, generate it, create it, take care of it. This is my invitation.
Oh, that was awesome. I think actually now it might be time for a break. It was so good.
We'll be right back. How many free trial subscriptions end up costing you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, long after you forgot to cancel? It's time to fight back against scammy subscriptions with Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, you don't want, you don't use, just because you simply forgot to cancel it. This is so true for me. I get so busy, and then all of a sudden I see my statements and I'm like, oh, how long have I been paying for this? It's so hard. Truebill saved me so much, and I'm sure they can save you money too. Truebill has over 2 million users and saved them over $100 million. Like Jennifer B., who says, with your help, our family saved $587 a year on unnecessary subscriptions. I really didn't understand how Truebill could help me until we decided to save for a very large home purchase. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/otherside. Go right now to Truebill.com/otherside, and it could save you thousands of dollars a year.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Hillary Clinton, and I'm excited to be back with a new season of You and Me Both. You know, when we started this podcast, we were going through some tough times, and let's face it, we still are. But I am a firm believer we're stronger together. So please join me for more conversations with people who will make you think, make you laugh, and help us find a path forward. Listen to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back from Julie's break.
Man, this is like going to be an ongoing battle of who can get to the break first and who can shame the other one when we get there.
Not shame, just playing. I'm just playing with you.
It's shame. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to come back to polishing the mirror slash Sue again. So actually, it was her first question. It's going to be our second question because it felt like it fit in this, which is, how does shadow work affect a person's higher self?
I love this question. I love all of them. So shadow work is defined in many different ways. So I just want to put that out there. There are many different experiences of how people are working on their shadow. As one of my spiritual teachers would say, she's like, that work over there in the shadow is in the shadow for a reason. Leave it there.
That's what she says. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's hilarious. She's very funny. So a shadow work is often defined as a part of us that we repress or reject. And that would be considered lost because it's denying what is. And it's there for a reason. Right? It's there to teach us parts of ourselves that we're not okay with, that we don't want to share with the world, that we hold shame about. So that's why we keep it in the shadow, but nothing can be denied of our experience. So it keeps popping up in usually very dysfunctional, inappropriate, immature sort of ways. Why are you laughing?
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm okay. Biding okay. My time okay. To support exactly okay. What you're saying.
Okay. So it can be just immature parts of us that never grew up or never healed. And so it pops up in sideways expression, usually damaging to ourselves over a long time, but immediately damaging to others is usually how it comes, or into our relationships at least. Or we just keep getting caught by the same lesson. I'm sure we've all had that experience. We're like, oh, yeah, I wasn't paying attention to that. And so I have a tendency to go overboard on this or to be not accountable in a way that's productive and moves my earth school lessons forward. So there's a lot of different ways to experience that, but that's part of it. And so how shadow work, when it's done appropriately in a safe space with an honoring teacher, is, you know, well qualified and doing great work, how it affects a person's higher self is that it just expands. So it brings this part of you that's in the shadow into the light with integration and understanding that even, you know, we had a question about of someone who really likes to help others. That would not be considered shadow, right? Until it is. Until it's like, well, I just want to look good to other people. I want to make sure people like me. That's the shadow version, right, of what's happening. So anything that's out of balance or is presenting as one thing but is actually doing something else, that would be considered behavior. And so shadow work is about integrating and seeing the light and the dark and the light, right? It is the yin and the yang expression. And when you can actually claim it and understand it without shame, without hiding, without resisting, then it actually elevates the higher self because you have more awareness. You have more wisdom, probably, hopefully, more compassion, not only for yourself in the human or school journey, but also compassion for others who aren't aware of their shadow. So that's the purpose. So it just elevates not only your higher self, but the whole planet. So it can be quite a blessing, quite an elevation of your Earth School studies.
Do you know, I'm sure you know a lot about whatever your shadows may be. In my book, you got none, but that's just because I'm an elf and you're my witch.
Plenty of shadows. Because remember, I'm not the best psychic in the world.
Oh my God. Oh, crazy. I know, it totally is. It's like Humility had babies.
Multiple births.
Yeah. Humility had quintuplets.
So we may actually want to unpack that just for a moment, for this purpose. So this story, do you want to tell the story? We were driving on the 405, right?
Oh my God. No, this was the 10.
So it was the 10, okay.
Yeah. So I got really excited. And I thought that Brenda would make, I think Long Island Medium was out. I'm like, oh my God, nobody's better than Brenda. So let me, I'm working in Hollywood. I know a lot of people. And so we had a meeting. I think it was with ETV, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Somebody. So I pick you up from the boys' house.
Yes.
And we're driving down the 10 down into, actually into Hollywood. And I'm all excited, whatever. This is my life, people. So we're in the car and I'm like, I'm so excited. You'll be great. And you're like, I'm not the best medium in the world. I went, why in the hell are we driving to E if you think you're not very good? And it just went in this hole. Like, we were laughing. I think I peed twice in my own car, and that's embarrassing. But I was like howling. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Of course you are. You're exquisite. You're absolutely so. You're like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, oh, for the love of God. And so, but that's humility on steroids. And I think that's also part of just who you are.
It definitely is, but it's part of my shadow where let that belief get in the way of showing up in a big way.
It's a protective a bit because I find a lot of the shadows to be, it's a protective skin, right? When we talk about these skin suits, we're in, it's like another protective skin. And when I was doing all this work, when I started the group at Fox, the consumer intelligence group, when we were using data and all this stuff, and I mm-hmm. worked with a woman named Dr. Pam Rutledge, who I stalked.
And who adores you.
Yeah, right. I mean, because stalking's great as long as nobody's going to kill you. If someone wants to kill you, it's not good, but stalking can be very complimentary. So Dr. Pam has her PhD in psychology, and we were doing a lot of work with archetypes. And archetypes have a light and they have a shadow. And so this woman put me through a battery of tests because she wanted me to learn. And the best way to learn is to dive in and do it yourself. So I did multiple archetype tests. And I even did the same test over a course of time. Like, this is, I think, what's also fascinating. Even though I knew how the other ones came out, I still just answered the questions how I saw fit. So my shadow, because they tell you in the reports.
They will test it, yeah.
Yeah, here's your shadow. And interestingly, it was quite accurate. It was accurate because there is an archetype that is the destroyer. Mm-hmm. And the destroyer is actually my shadow. And I'm very well aware, and I've always been well aware, not always, I've been well aware of it for decades, because I can absolutely take somebody to the ground with my words and my mm-hmm. energy and my look and all of that stuff. But that is all about fear. And that's what I'm very clear on with it. And so I know that the destroyer is a passenger in my car, but I don't put a mask on or hide because I actually don't need it because I'm in a different space. Because I actually learned from that I don't have to pull that out. I know I can. And I will tell you who else was an amazing shadow destroyer was my mother. I learned it very honestly because...
Do you know who else is? Ruben.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I will make sure he doesn't hear this episode.
Yeah, he knows it. He's not.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But yeah, I can take your shit down. I can make a grown badass man cry if I really wanted to.
Yeah.
But I don't do that because it doesn't serve. It doesn't serve the highest good. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve the other person.
The only time you would use that today is protection. If someone was hurting Suki or your Suzanne.
Oh, there's no doubt. I'd kill him. Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe just with words, but yes.
No, I might kill him.
And maybe not, but I'm just saying you have that tool and you use it with purpose.
And actually just earlier in this week, I had somebody give me crap about Suki because we were walking by this little, and it was in a, which I still love, by the way, I'm not mad at them, but Residence Inn by Marriott, I love. Because they have little kitchens, they allow dogs, whatever. And Suki and I were peeking into where the breakfast area was, and this guy across the way who works there was yelling at me, you ain't supposed to let no dog and whatever. And if I wasn't aware of my shadow self, I could have taken that man down. I thought about this. That's why I can talk about it so easily, because it was in my conscious, not subconscious. It was like right there in front. And then I thought, that is not necessary. A, he didn't need to yell across the place. He was trying to use public humiliation. He was trying to do all sorts of things, but he also did not have a grasp on the English language. And that is not a good opponent for me. And I was like, I can't bring somebody down like that. That is mean. That is absolutely mean. I don't need to do that. And just say, okay, and nod your head and walk away.
Yeah, it's not a fair fight, right?
It's not a fair fight. And that's exactly, I was like, because I would have pulled that crap out to anybody. I don't care who you were. But that is the beauty of acknowledging and knowing yourself and understanding who you are. And the fear of that was actually being shamed publicly. And then you think through it. It's, I don't know anybody here. Who gives a shit? He doesn't know. I mean, like, so you just start to go, oh my God, this is ridiculous. So I don't even really go into that territory regularly. I can't say I never go in there, but I'm learning, because that is a big lesson for me, is that shadow. That's why I kept smiling the whole time you were talking about this, is that it was like, here's the destroyer, Shiva, bad version of Shiva.
Well, you know, the thing is, when energy is destroyed, it creates room for things to be created.
It does.
Right. And what you created was awareness and accountability, and to be able to use your energy productively. Like, you don't use a bazooka where a fly swatter would do.
Exactly. I didn't even use a fly swatter. I just smiled.
That's wisdom. It's wisdom.
It's also, weirdly, it is the kindness to let him win. Like, there was a, I'm like, I don't need to do this.
Okay. We're good.
Those are those shadow parts that, and so that's why I smiled. It's like, oh my God, I just experienced this literally 5 days ago. So I think that was a beautiful answer that you had, though. And that's
because I'm not the best psychic.
Because you're not the best psychic.
And my shadow is hiding, right? Veiling myself and hiding.
So, yeah, no shit. You have a cloak of invisibility.
I do. I know. It's so good.
And it took me so long, guys. You have no idea what it took to get her to do this show. I'm just going to tell you guys, anytime, like, I love Brenda, don't forget the elf, because the witch would be here if the elf wasn't, like, supporting and convincing, like, it'll be okay.
Supporting is not the word. Lulu is really upset by this whole conversation of shadow.
Well, she should be.
So I apologize for her.
We're going to take a quick little break then. Do you want to take a little break? And we have, I know, isn't that funny?
Okay, we'll be right back.
What's up, what's up? This is Robin Dixon, co-host of Reasonably Shady, which has just been nominated for an NAACP Image Award in the Outstanding Arts and Entertainment Podcast category. This is so big for Giselle and I. And of course, we must thank all of our fantastic listeners. But we need your help. Visit vote.naacpimageawards.net to vote for Reasonably Shady. That's vote.naacpimageawards.net. But don't wait. Voting closes on February 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And make sure to listen to Reasonably Shady every single Monday on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
A little over 12 months ago, an 18-year-old African-American young man named Niles Hayes was driving a family friend's luxury vehicle when he was stopped for a routine traffic violation. Things escalate quickly.
No! Unit 510 Nora, we have a 999 shooting in progress! Officers down!
Within hours of the police stop, footage of the entire altercation gets posted online, and it goes viral.
I'm Colleen Sanders, and we're here live from the Los Angeles Valley. Outside air on
you see how they do us?
This case presented a lot of challenges.
You got the whole PD outside my building, ready to light the entire block.
Any number of outcomes could have happened and different choices were made.
I guess what I am struggling with.
You struggle with it because you live in a different reality than we do.
Hashtag Matter premieres February 9th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Paris Hilton. Last year, I revealed the story of my abuse at Provo Canyon School. Since then, thousands of survivors have come forward. Now, I'm on a mission to expose the truth of the entire industry. In this weekly investigative podcast, me and my host, Rebecca Mellinger and Caroline Cole, will examine one infamous teen treatment facility each season. First up, Provo Canyon School. This one is personal.
When you first get there, you have to experience girls screaming, locked up, peeing themselves, in the hallway sleeping. And you're like, where am I? Holy heck, this is not what I expected.
Listen to Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, we are back from Lulu's break, apparently. So we brought a new one in to the mix.
Yes.
To the breed.
She is a mix.
She's a Cavapoo.
She is.
So you ask, you go, girl, you start asking questions. You start reading this shit and see how easy it is.
You know me. I want to see if I can get these words in the right order. All right. So how can we trust what we are feeling to be a message from the other side versus our imagination or what we want to hear? Such a great question. And this is sort of the quintessential gateway that everyone is trying to navigate all the time, right? All mediums are, all readers are, like all my students as they're teaching to, they're reading tarot, they're like, this is what I think is there, but is it that really was there? Or is that just what I want to say to my friend? You know,
like. I think the first thing is that, because her question is wrapped around a message, right? So let's just look at the message part of it, no matter what way in, is that as long as if you are a medium, you do have work that you do prior to readings. If you're doing tarot, you also have work prior to doing that. And part of that, I think, is really important, is about a disassociation to what it is, or a neutrality to it, I think is probably a better word. And one of the risks I always find with people, especially no matter who they're reading or what their mechanism is that they're reading through, is they tend to practice on people that they know. And I think that's why there's a lot of questions that happen. There's a lot of, is this really real? Because you know them. And I think that's harder. So it's always better to read for a stranger.
And it's hard when you're getting, because you're like, I just need people to be nice and let me practice on you. And so who are you going to ask? You're not going to walk up to people on the street. You're going to ask people.
And you don't want to hurt feelings. You don't want to do it. That's why when I first started taking your class, I did not read for Suzanne. I wouldn't.
That's just smart. Right.
Don't do any of that stuff. It's like, she's my wife. She is not my
experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is not what she is. And so I really separate those things because I don't want to entangle us, but now I would be okay to do it. But especially early on, I don't want to, just for the record. Because I didn't have confidence. If you're delivering a message to someone, and if you're saying it in a way that you would say it, it's probably you.
Yeah, it's definitely you.
If you're saying things in a way that you wouldn't say things, it ain't you. So that is one way, because I have noticed that there have been times words came out of my mouth that I've never used.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that is the best confirmation is that. Is to actually be using language that you would not use.
And just so you know, it feels a little funny as it's coming out of your mouth. And you almost feel like you're speaking a different language. Because you're like, does that make sense? Like, I'll ask people, does that make sense? Because it feels that weird coming out of your mouth.
I remember when you talked to Mona the first time, well over a decade ago. And I remember we all, after we were all done crying, because it was messy. It was not like, it was a mess of us. That when we're all done with that, we were all like, she sounds like Mona. Like, you sounded like Mona.
And I had never met Mona, obviously.
Which was also, by the way, weird. But you sounded like her inflection and how she would say certain words and even her pacing. You sounded like Mona. So for us, there was no question. I mean, in general, we would have had him anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, that piece alone, you're like, oh shit, she sounds like that person that she's talking to and doesn't know. And, you know, is saying things that only Mona would know.
But I just want to be really clear about that. As the person giving the message, I don't know any of that. So that's never going to be affirming to me because I don't know that. Now, you can say you sound like Mona, but I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, because that's what I do because I'm not the best medium. but I want to speak to like the question she's asking, like, how do we know? How do we know? And that's something for them to know, not for you to know, because the message isn't for you.
Correct.
So you got to be really clear about that. That's why it's so important to be, I want to serve you. I don't want to please you.
Right.
Because otherwise I'm going to turn myself inside out trying to figure out what you want to hear and then tell you that, as opposed to I'm just giving you the message. I don't know what it means. I'm unattached to it.
That's the neutrality, I think, right. The unattached part of it. But listen, you've dealt with this a lot, I've dealt with it a little, is that you can get some pretty tough messages from things.
Yep.
It is up to you to be gentle with it, right? Like you can be gentle, but still get it across. Like you don't want to scare people. Like you and I have talked about that a lot lately, right. Actually, is you can't, because otherwise you could blow people up by like just dumping it on them. So there is a bit of an, I think, a finessing.
I actually think the framework that I took a storytelling class once, obviously I failed miserably, but okay, my elf's head just popped off.
You got an incomplete and a failure, if that's possible.
No, totally. But the axiom is you tell a hot story cold and a cold story hot. So when you get a really intense message, so that would be like a hot story, you tell it very cold. If you come just the facts, they're showing me this is what I see. Does this make sense to you? What's next? Like you just keep moving on. Like you confirm that they're with you, but you don't inflame it. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe. You're like, that's not helpful. All those words, not helpful. You just give the message. This is what I'm getting. This is the message. Does this make sense to you? Boom, you're out.
Yeah, that's exactly. And again, you taught me that. I didn't know the hot, cold, hot, but that was fantastic. Yeah. You did get something out of it. That was fantastic. Yeah. So the other thing that I've heard from lots of folks is, we'll call them dreams. To keep it easy on people, and they say a visitation that somebody came to see, they're like, I don't know if it was me, because I was willing them to be there. So here is just a few things that I've learned through those experiences. The night that Mona jumped, I did not know she jumped at the time. She came to me and kissed me on the forehead and told me everything was going to be okay.
Right.
Mona never did that in real life. So when things like that, they'll kind of mix up how they do things so you know that it's not a behavior. So if Mona would have come to me and plopped down next to me on a couch and held my hand in that visitation, I would think that that was me, because she would do that in real life. The other thing is, especially if you start to see these people that you know and you love. And so my mother, when she would show up, the first time she showed up, I hardly recognized her because they were only from photographs. And I'm not even sure those were actual photographs, because she came to me younger than she had me.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was her because I could tell, but she had long hair. She had like different clothes. And so she came to me every time in her striped shirt and her Charlotte Ford jeans, which she does now just to mess with me. Those were $80 jeans back in the early 80s. I mean, those were expensive jeans in the early 80 bucks for jeans. That's why she had one pair. But she wore them every day. She got her money's worth.
Which is so funny, because I remember there was a phase that your mom, every time she came to me, she talked to me about your hair.
About my hair. Yeah. Yes. My long hair. She liked my long hair.
Yeah. There's something about her that she cares how things are presented, right?
And weird, when she was a mom, she didn't care, which is the really funny thing.
She must have cared.
Well, I was just telling the story the other day, though. Yeah, this is crazy. In fifth grade, I decided for a week, longer, my hair was long and shaggy. And for 1 week, I didn't wash it.
Okay. Because
I don't know. I was sure rebelling against my stepdad of some bullshit I was struggling with and stuttering or whatever the fuck I had going on. And I decided not to wash my hair. I remember that somebody asked my mom, are you going to have Julie cut her hair or wash her hair? And she's like, well, only when she's ready, only when she wants. That was her.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe she was more concerned about her, like how she looked, but she was like, let me be me. So I like, there is obviously a distinction. And because I was talking, I was talking about unconditional love. And that was it's one of those stories, like you must love your kid if you're going to let him walk around like that. But she let me make that decision. And then when I decided, then I was going to wash my hair, and I eventually did.
So good.
But she does have a weird thing about hair, because she has made comments about that. Don't ask her right now, because it's in a ponytail. But I think when loved ones or whomever, because again, people question when there are people that they know and people that, and or they love. And that's when it's, wait, is that really? Because those are the ones we really want to hear from the most.
Right.
Obviously. Actually, we only really want to hear from ourselves. Like, that's what, you know, like, I love it. Right. I'm just like, my family, my ghost family, that thing makes me happier when they show up. But pay attention to those types of details. Are they behaviors and actions they would have had? Do they look the same? Those types of things. And that can help answer that question in my very long-winded way.
And even like just messages, if you know, when it's not attached to a specific spirit, like you're just receiving guidance in your life. Just think, is that something I would have thought of?
Right. That's absolutely. That's my favorite thing. I know I've talked about this so many times, but it still makes me laugh, is when your name dropping was...
Edgar Casey.
Edgar Casey earlier.
A couple episodes ago, yeah.
I'm going to name drop Jeffrey Katzenberg. So in that meeting with Jeffrey Katzenberg, and I was so, he asked me a question, I was petrified. I'm like, I don't have it. My mouth opened and something brilliant popped out. That was not mine. I'm so very clear. And it was really brilliant.
Yeah.
And I look stunned, by the way, yeah. When that happened. I look at my face. The best part was that it's blah, blah, blah. What the? I'm looking, who the hell did that?
So good.
Stunned.
Yeah. But that's how you know. You're like, oh, I never thought of that before. Boom. Then you know it's a message. Oh, I never saw that before. I wouldn't have seen it that way. These are great connections to be making.
Yeah. But replaying memories is not that. And that's how you have to decipher those two things. If you're replaying things, then no, it's you and you're just trying to comfort yourself and that's okay.
That's okay. Enjoy that.
Oh no, I absolutely do. It's like a pacifier. Yeah. You want to go back into those places that make you feel cozy and that's good. But if there are things that you don't recognize like that, then they're likely you are communicating with the other side.
Exactly. So chop suey. Thank you so much.
It's actually cop suey. Do you know how many times you called her chop suey?
I know, but this is only the first time in this because I actually saw it in this writing, one, so I rarely do it, yes. But I just want to thank her for the level of questioning and the level of living that she's doing and seeking. It's so beautiful and inspiring, and it helps all of us.
That's it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and she knows I love her, so I don't need to tell her over again on the air. But I do, and I love you, and thank you, and it was, I love these questions. These are great because they make us better. Because we, you know, get to process this and think about it and share our own experiences. And hopefully everybody got a little something out of it.
Yeah. See how they can inspire you to get more out of this her school journey. So thank you for listening, everybody. And remember, her school is hard.
Without cop suey. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and a special thanks to our producer, Alejandra Arevalo, and our executive producer, Maya Cole Howard, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com, and you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.